Well, today I want to share a message with you called Thankfulness, a Rare Virtue. And it is the second sermon in this series called Thankfulness as a Virtue. And admittedly, most of us do not display an ongoing thankfulness very well. At least that's my opinion. Our thankfulness quotient waxes and wanes based on whether or not things are going our way. Wouldn't you agree that there are days I'm really thankful because I got out of some kind of trouble, because something really great happened in my life, because our basketball team might win a game. But my desire is to stretch us beyond being thankful for a day or two or an hour or two upon receiving some earthly blessing or some needed good news. Maybe the doctor told you you don't have cancer and you say, oh, am I thankful? And that lasts for a while, but not very long, because we want something else. And our stretch is to, on purpose, learn to live a lifestyle of gratitude based on appreciation for what He's already done. Now, to get you into the mindset I'm working with, remember, we are eternal beings housed in temporal vessels. Heaven, eternity, is our home. Earth is our tent. And I think so oftentimes, because we've not been home yet, we get our eyes on the temporal earthly things, and that's where we look for our blessing. And the temporal and earthly things, even the healing from a disease, okay, you still die after you're healed, right? Even the healing of a disease, you see, is a temporal blessing. But we need to focus on the eternal blessing so that we can remain eternally grateful. Because the temporal blessings are going to come and go, and if we find our gratefulness in those things, then we can expect them to wax and to wane. So I've said I want to stretch us to be thinking about how we can be grateful for what He's already done. I'm thinking of ultimate acts, things like creation. Slow down. Take some time to ponder the wonder of creation. Take time to watch some of these National Geographic shows, not the evolution part, but the wonder of how things are made part. I know I was visiting in a home a couple of years ago, and this fella had bought it seemed like a 60-inch HD TV, and you could see the hair, each hair on the monkey on National Geographic. I'm like, whoa! But you just begin to ponder how things are made and the macro world and the micro world, and say, thank you, Lord. The amazing act of salvation, I mean, once for all, that's an ultimate act. And you see, that eternal thing has us attach to the Lord and to be able to keep that thanksgiving going, even if things aren't going our way, even if the temporal world's not lining up, the eternal world never changes. And you know, for life itself, when I preach a funeral, one of my first points is that life is a gift. And you really have to admit with me, it is. There's none of us who earned the right to live. We didn't, you know, get in a line. We didn't pay a price. We didn't take a lottery ticket to say who gets to go to the earth. It's a gift from the Lord. And so those are the things that can keep us where we need to be in our quotient of gratitude. Here's what Paul said in Ephesians 5. He says, giving thanks always and for everything that to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm working after in me and in you, to be giving thanks always for everything. That's where we should live. And according to Paul, we can live that way, learning to be thankful always for everything. Now, today we're going to go to an odd place, in my opinion, to learn about thankfulness. These men in this picture have leprosy, different stages, and I don't know how well you can see the two on the left. Andy, could you go turn this chandelier out? It might help a little bit. But the two on the left seem to have disease on their face, especially the guy furthest to the left, actually, second row. Leprosy tends to eat away at tissue and nerves, muscle, and your nose wants to sink in. That's what you see happening with him in its advanced stages. And I'm going to teach you a little bit about leprosy here in a few minutes. See the fellow's hands clear on the right, how they're sort of withered up and looks like parts of the most extreme portions of his fingers are missing because they are. This is an advanced stage of leprosy just upon the fingers that tends to do the same thing with your arms and your legs. So I want us to spend a little time here today just educating you about lepers and leprosy, and then I'm going to ask you to identify with the lepers so that we can be thankful and we'll go someplace together. Well, to have leprosy in Jesus' day would put you in a class of people who were pitied. Not only were they pitied, but they were avoided. Lepers were isolated from the general population. They had to live in seclusion. They lived in colonies and they traveled in groups. Now, some of you might remember in the days of TB, tuberculosis, what did they make? In fact, there's still facilities around, sanitariums they were called, and you would be taken there isolated from the population because of the contagious part of TB. And once you were better, then you could be brought back to the population. But lepers, not so, because there was no cure unless it were miraculous. Well, the disease of the leper forced them to live with and to care for one another. Earning a living was nearly impossible. There was no government welfare. There was no disability. There was no Social Security. You couldn't go to an office and fill out a form and say, I've got a disease. I can't work. You know, I need an income. How am I going to exist? How am I going to make my place? And so leprosy turned you to a lifestyle of poverty, and it made you a beggar. Whether you wanted to be or not, you were a beggar. And as I said, they lived in colonies, and they traveled in groups. When moving from place to place to find help from a distance, the instruction was this: stand off and cry, unclean, unclean. And as they cried unclean, people could get out of the way because they knew they didn't want near the leper. Yes, pitied, but isolated. They were actually the scourge of society to some extent, because who would want to be around a leper? If by your compassion you were moved to provide some food or some clothes or some other help, as they passed by, you could lay it in the street. And when the group came by, they might pick up that food or they might pick up those clothes so that they could go on their way. Now, to get a job as a leper was impossible. I mean, who would hire a leper? A leper couldn't even grow his own vegetables and bring them to the market. Who would buy them? A leper couldn't get a laboring job. Who would work beside him? And so the lepers, there they were, traveling in groups, living in colonies. Now, leprosy is evidenced, first of all, by white patches on the skin. It advances to sores and weakness in your muscles and nerve damage. First, there was a lack of sensation in your fingers and your toes. Then a numbness, traveling clear to your arms and your legs. And eventually leprosy would claim the usefulness of your fingers and your toes, and then your arms and your legs. It disfigured faces. Leprosy did not respect age or sex. Children got leprosy. Men and women got leprosy. Now, the Gospels record that Jesus dealt with lepers differently than most would. He actually got close to them. He actually touched them on some occasions. Other times, he didn't touch them. Here's the last verse of the Gospel of John. Listen to this. It says, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that were written. So you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can find times Jesus dealt with lepers. But guess what? John says there were lots more times he dealt with lepers that we didn't write down. And I wonder, how often did Jesus deal with these outcasts? How many lepers were touched by the mercy and the grace and the power of Jesus? More than we know about. And I want you to begin to identify with lepers and leprosy. And understand that we have a disease that we're going to talk about. And we have a deliverer of whom we're going to talk about. And that brings us to thankfulness, of which we must live by. And it all comes from the same source. What did they need? They needed the mercy and the grace and the power of Jesus at work in their lives. And that's exactly what we need. Now today, we're going to take a look at our Bibles to a group of men who were lepers. There were 10 of them altogether. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, if you would. Let's go to our Bibles. Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. That's the border between the mid part of the country and the northern part of the country. And you might remember, to be a Samaritan was not a welcome thing. You were sort of a half-breed, a half-Jew. And people looked down on you. People, if you were a righteous Jew, you would actually travel around Samaria as you headed from Judea to Galilee. You wouldn't go through. You might remember that Jesus made up a story about the good Samaritan, the least likely that would help somebody, of course, in culture's thinking. And you might remember that Jesus did not avoid Samaria. John 4, woman at the well, he went right there. He went to Sychar, sat down at Jacob's well, and led a Samaritan woman unto the Lord. So here's Jesus passing from one area of the country to another. And as he entered a village, verse 12, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Now, that's what they were to do. You don't go barging in. You don't go up to the market. You pass through and you cry, unclean, unclean. And some of them might have had little bells that they would ring and bells on their staff that would ring as they passed by so people would know, scatter, get out of the way, but have mercy. Put some food on the road, put some clothes on the road that they might pick it up as they pass by. And so the voices properly from the lepers at a distance said, verse 13, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, I would imagine the lepers, like all of us who are sick, okay, we look everywhere for a cure. We'll try holistic medicine. We'll try the doctor. We'll try a prescription. We'll try this. We'll try that. But they had run out of options, and they said, He's our only hope. That's the one. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And verse 14 says, and when he saw them, he said to them, be healed. Is that what your Bible says? No, he didn't touch them. He didn't heal them. At that instant, it says that he said to them, now go show yourself to the priest. Go. And as they went, not when they went, not once they got to the priest they were healed or cleansed, as they went, as they obeyed the words of Jesus by faith, to do what he said, on their way to see the priest, they were healed. Pretty amazing story. I mean, he could have, you know, like the one, he made some spit, spit in the dirt, made some mud, rubbed on the guy's eyes. He could have done something like that. He could have picked up dust. He could have poured water to symbolize the cleansing. He just said, hey, go show the priest. And as they went, God miraculously healed them. All 10 of them. On their way. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. Now, take a picture of that. Okay? He had been healed. He'd been cleansed of his leprosy. He came back to say thanks. And what was his posture? On his face before the Lord. giving him thanks. Now he was what? A Samaritan. In culture's eyes, the least likely to give thanks, the least grateful person there was, the one who wasn't a real follower of God, he's the one that came back and said, thank you. And Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner, so to speak? And then look at verse 19, and he said to him, Jesus said to him, rise, get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. You see, here's the obvious lesson in this, is that 10 received. See, all 10 were cleansed, but one gave thanks. And that makes thankfulness a rare virtue, doesn't it? Could I help you? He was right here. I saw him a while ago. What happened out there?
Well, one minute I was a leper, and then the next I was healed.
How did he do it?
He just touched us, and he prayed, and it was amazing.
And did you... I heard he sent you to the priest. Did you get to the priest and he did something?
He did nothing compared to what Jesus did.
Just on the way, it went away. How bad was your leprosy?
Oh, I couldn't even walk.
How long did you have it?
I can't even remember.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? Jesus was right here a while ago. Last I saw him, he was headed that way. Maybe you can find him if you go out there.
Thank you very much.
God bless you. So that makes thankfulness a virtue. Only one return to give thanks. It's a rare thing. Now, I don't know if the percentage is 10%. That's what it was that day. 1 out of 10 remembered to give thanks. I have no idea to weigh and measure it. I just know we're not very good, you see, at remaining grateful. And I want you to see this. There's a deeper lesson. See, 10 received, 1 gave thanks. That makes thankfulness a rare virtue, but look at this. 10 were healed, but only 1 was made well. Did you catch that in the language of the Scripture? See, the 10, as they went and to the priest, I'm not sure their personal faith. It was their obedience in the Lord that as they went on the way, they were cleansed. But one came back because of what Jesus had already done. One came back, laid at His feet, and Jesus made him well, is what the Scripture says. So I want you and I to have some identification with the lepers today. In order to see clearly about thankfulness and deliverance, it would be good for us to put ourselves in their place. Now, most of us do not have an incurable physical disease. Somebody sitting here may well have an incurable physical disease, but most of us don't. But we're all going to die, that's for sure. But we all have been afflicted with a spiritual consequence that leads to death. To spiritual death, you see. And it really is the source of physical death when it comes down to it. So as we identify with the lepers today, I want to talk about these three things. I want to talk about our disease. Then I want to talk about our deliverance, and then I want to talk about our thankfulness. So let's go and talk about our disease. Now, you saw the lepers, okay, and they left, and I want you to compare their cleansing, their physical healing, with the temporal blessings we all receive. Because, like I said, even though they were cleansed and healed, maybe limbs restored, in the end, they all died, right? And so let's look at that healing as what we receive temporally that makes us happy or not so happy. That's the reason our thankfulness waxes and wanes. But the one man was made well. And when he was made well, it was eternally well. And though his body, you see, ceased to live, he now lives eternally with the Lord in heaven. Do you know that? We know for sure one out of ten of those lepers went to heaven. Sort of an interesting take when we look at the Scripture. But let's talk about our disease. Our disease is not leprosy, as I said, but we do have a disease, and the disease is called sin, a spiritual disease that is terminal, that has us to live separate from God forever if we do not receive His cure. And even we who are redeemed are affected by that disease after the eternal effect is taken away. And I simply want to call that part of our sin self. Sin and self keep us from living with an attitude of gratitude. Now, I want you to open your Bibles with me today. I want to stay in the book of Romans. I want to take you a few places in Romans, and I want to describe our disease and our deliverance, and then get on to our thankfulness. So, Romans. Let's talk about our disease, sin. Let's go to Romans 3:23, first of all. Romans 3:23. Now, I want to say this. I just happen to know, since I'm the pastor here, there are some newer folks who are just seeking the Lord. Please take your Bible, and if you have to look it up in the table of contents, do so. If somebody beside you has to help you, it's more important that you find those Scriptures. Because what I have to say here is what can heal you, cure you, eternally deliver you from a life of death and confusion unto a life, you see, of freedom in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23, it says this: "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, putting that into application of today's context of the leprosies, of the lepers, it would say this: for all have leprosy, all have spiritual leprosy, and cannot heal themselves. See, spiritually our disease is sin, and there's nothing we can do about sin in order to get rid of it on our own. Romans 5:6-8. Okay, if you found Romans 3, just go to Romans 5:6-8. Remember, Romans 3 says everybody has the disease. Everybody has sinned and falls short of God's glory. Romans 5:6-8 says, "While we were still weak, while we were sick, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." While we were sick, God provided a cure. "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die, but God chose His love for this, that while we were still sinners," while we still had leprosy, while we were still sick, "Christ died for us." See, He didn't die for good people, because there are no good people. And if you're seeking the Lord, you've got to hear that. Quit comparing yourself to everybody else, thinking, "Well, they know about God, but they're different than me, and they grew up different than me, and they come from a good family, and they have this and they have that." It says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one who's good. We're all sick. And while we were sick, Jesus Christ died on the cross for us." Verse 8, "But God shows His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died." Romans 6:23. It says, "The wages of sin is death. The result of our sickness is death." Leprosy, left untreated, causes what? Death. Sin, left untreated, causes spiritual death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. I don't know if you saw, but one of our lepers crawled the whole way here. He was the fellow that came back to looking for Jesus, that he might give thanks, that he could be made well. More than healed, delivered eternally. But I want you to understand that when we come to Jesus, that's all we need to do. It's a gift. You don't jump through hoops. You don't memorize verses. You don't pay money. You don't fill an application. You receive a gift. That's what He says. "All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. While we were sick, Christ gave His life for us." Who would ever do that? Paul's reasoning would be, somebody might die for really nice people, but who would die for lepers? and says, while we were sick, while we were the worst and the most unable, Christ gave His life. And listen, if you don't get the heal, you're going to die. But the gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, if you've not met Jesus, you see, that's the picture I want you to see today. You need to come to Jesus to get healed of your spiritual leprosy called sin, that you might be delivered once for all. Now go to Romans 7, beginning in verse 15. Even if you have been, you see, made well of the consequences of the disease, even if the disease will never get a hold of you completely again, guess what? The disease still dwells within your body. It lays latent within you. That's what Paul says in Romans 7, beginning in verse 15. Listen, if you're a Christian, you still have to keep this disease in check. Paul says in Romans 7, 15, I don't understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but what? Sin that dwells in me. Paul, the super Christian, the apostle, you see, who traveled the world in the name of Jesus Christ, beginning church after church after church, said, I'm still affected by sin. He says, I know that nothing good dwells in me. That's in my flesh. If you just look at me straight, okay, without the redemption of Jesus Christ, there's nothing good that dwells in me. Not one good thing. For I have the desire to do what's right, but I don't have the ability to carry it out. Even when I'm determined to do everything the way the Lord wants, it doesn't come up about that way. He says, I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want, that's what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin that dwells in me. So as far as I'm concerned, there are two kinds of people in this room. There are unredeemed sinners, and there are redeemed sinners. They're not the same. The redeemed sinner is the person who's living for Christ, who has received His eternal life, yet sin still comes up and nips him at the heels. The unredeemed sinner, he's a slave to sin. He can do nothing else. He needs delivered, you see. He needs to be cleansed and made well. Now, the picture's the same for both of us. This is about thankfulness, not about salvation. So let's talk about this deliverance for a moment. Romans 10, 8 to 12. Romans 10, 8 to 12. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because, look at this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, what? You'll be cured. You'll be healed. You'll be saved. You'll be delivered. You'll be made well. And listen, if you're one of the seekers who's here today, hear that verse. Salvation has already been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. How do you access that salvation? The Scripture says you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. And when you do, you will be saved. You'll be delivered. You have come to Jesus. For with the heart one believes and is justified, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Verse 11, for the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. You tired of being put to shame? You tired of being an outcast? You tired of being pushed down? You tired of being seen differently by all of the world as if you're a leper? It says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you will not be put to shame. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember the lepers? lived in colonies, traveled in groups, isolated from society. Same thing happens when we're pushed down by the weight of sin. We don't feel welcome or accepted. We're pushed away. We're outcasts. And it says through Jesus Christ, there is now therefore no condemnation. So then let's go on to get back to the subject of the day, and that's our thankfulness. That's the picture of what happened when the leper went to go find Jesus. Now let's go back there to Luke chapter 17. Pick up in verse 16, the text for the day. And I want you to get out your 35 millimeter DSLRs with the telephoto lens. And I want you to focus in on this scene. There's that guy, the one who crawled in and met Jesus, was healed as he crawled to the priest, came walking to Jesus. But what's the picture? He's flat on his face in the presence of the Lord, filled with thanksgiving. And he was the least likely. He was the Samaritan, not a Jew. And the key words are, your faith has made you well. Let's pick up in verse 16. I want you to see it. I want you to hear it. Imagine this. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, were not cleansed? 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise. He said, get off your face. He said, your thankfulness, you see, has brought you to where you're lying before me. He says, get up and get back to life. Because your faith has now made you well. Your faith has made you well. And we'll be looking at that in depth in just a minute. But I have to think. I don't know if you're like me, but if you don't try to take in so much scripture where you don't have enough time to digest it, if you'll take in, you see, a meal at a time or a bite at a time, it gives you time to think. And here were 10 lepers. One came back and he was thankful and he got saved. Okay, but I just wonder how old he was. I mean, what if he was a guy like in his mid-30s, already had kids and a wife? See, like I said, leprosy doesn't respect you. I mean, if I had leprosy, well, I'll say it this way. If one of my kids had leprosy, I wish my whole family had leprosy. Why? We could be together. I mean, could you imagine the moms that said, I don't care if he has leprosy or not. I'm not putting him in a leper colony. I'll get the disease before I let him go. Or could you imagine a husband and wife that said, hey, honey, for the sake of the kids, you're going to have to go live over there. But what if it was one of those guys? Couldn't you imagine that? You know, maybe he was gone for 3 or 4 years. He comes walking to the house. Honey, I'm home. Going to work tomorrow. Man, wouldn't that be amazing? But Jesus said to him, get up and go on your way. Life isn't the same any longer. And just plug that into the spiritual truth of the Scripture. If sin is our spiritual leprosy and the blood of Christ is our healing for our spiritual leprosy, you're free. You're not under condemnation. You can go live now without the fear that you had before. So I just ask you, do you see yourself in that picture? Now, I believe that we need to get on our face before Jesus more than once in our life. Not to get re-saved. I mean, it goes right back to what I said. We all have sin, and even once we're delivered from the consequence of sin, we still have this latent sin nipping away at our spiritual life. But the cure is always the same. You know that? You got to go see Jesus again. And I've said it before. The prayerless Bob Huber is different than the prayerful Bob Huber. And I bet you're the same, aren't you? You know what my reset button is? You know what makes me thankful again? You know what keeps me daily thankful? It's laying at His feet. Talking to Him. Receiving from Him. Taking in His Word. Doing His will. And then you see that attitude of gratitude isn't something we need to conjure up. It's not some rhyming thing that we think, oh, nobody could ever achieve that. We just live the life. But I've got to come back to the feet of Jesus, lying at His feet, because that is the posture of thankfulness. That's why I want you to have that picture in your mind. Not very grateful? Go lay down, face down at Jesus' feet. Go home. Shut your bedroom door. Lay on the carpet. Lay on the bed. Whatever it might be, lay on the hardwood, face down before Jesus, not a display before your family. Go do it and call out to Him. And if you'll do business with the Lord, I promise you, you won't be the same when you get up as you were when you laid down. But I want us to catch this picture, because Jesus said something very significant. He said, "Your faith has made you well." And when He said, "Your faith has made you well," it was one word. It was the word sozo. It means to be made complete or whole. So back at those scriptures, He says, "Your faith has made you whole." Your faith is now completed in your life. And guess what the word is for salvation or to be saved anywhere in the scripture? Sozo. It was more than being cleansed. He was made well forever. When He returned, giving thanks for what Jesus had already done. And I say this. See, we are made well. We are made complete. We're made whole when we come to Jesus in response to what He's already done. Whether we like it or not, whether or not we're even conscious of it, I think our mindset is this. You know, when I get this blessing, then I will be content. When I see this happening in my life, then I'll be thankful. I can't live there right now because there's too many loose ends in my life, you see. Whether my kids are raised right, whether my house is paid off, whether I have enough savings for my retirement, whether, you know, I can pay the deductible on my insurance, whatever it might be. You know, when I get a new car, then finally everything will be in its place and I go, oh, am I thankful. And like I said, if we're going to look at all those temporal things, we'll never be thankful. But when we look at the one eternal thing, see, then we will eternally be thankful, no matter what happens with the temporal things. But it has to be in response to what He's already done, not what He's going to do. Now, do you know what He's already done? John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Should not perish, but be saved. Sozo. That's what Jesus said. So that helps me a lot. I hope it helps you to say then this virtuous gratitude, how do I maintain it? You see, if thankfulness is a virtue but a rare one, how do I keep up this virtuous gratitude? Here's how it's done. We come again and again to Jesus. I'm not afraid to come to Jesus again, are you? I don't mean to get saved again, but I mean to get delivered from me again. See, sin and self are the problem. Self gets in a lot in the way a lot these days. How about you? And the older I get, the more I'm apt to say it and see it. As a younger man, you think, I'm not the problem, they're the problem. You know? But like Paul says, why? He said, I'm confused. Why don't I do what I want to do? And why, even when I set out to do what's right, I still don't do it? So there's the picture. Just come again to the feet of Jesus. You need made well? You want to stop living under the condemnation of sin today? Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, you believe it in your heart, come, confess it with your mouth, and you'll be saved. Life change. You need made well again? Come lay at the feet of Jesus. Now, I mean, if everybody wants to get out now, lay down on your face, that's fine with me. But I'm simply saying, as we have an invitation today, if you need to say, hey, I've been getting in my own way again, sin's really creeping up, I'm living more like I used to, I want to be done with it, you just come up and we'll help you get before the feet of Jesus. Well, Jesus asked a question. When the guy came, he says, weren't 10 healed? Where's the 9? And someone somewhere along the way had thought of, you know, wonder why the 9 didn't come back, and just came up with some ideas. He said, maybe one waited to see if the cure was real and if it would last. He thought, you know, if this is a real life change for me, I'm going to wait at least 3 days to see if it really works. And maybe another, and I think this probably was true, another one or two of them had the thought, well, you know, the next time I run into him, I'm going to thank him. I should write him a thank you note. But they didn't immediately come back and thank Jesus. You know, it was just some good thinking and some well-wishing that never produced any fruit. And maybe one of them decided, you know, nobody was really sure that I ever had leprosy. It was just starting to break out on me, so I don't know if I got cured or not. And another said, you know, for about 2 weeks now, I've been feeling a lot better. I think I was on the way to being cured anyhow, and it just happened to finalize itself today. And maybe a couple of them went to the priest, and as they were going, they were healed, but gave the glory to the priest instead of to Jesus. And maybe a couple have said, oh, well, Jesus really didn't do anything. I mean, he didn't touch these ones, did he? It just says he spoke to them and said, go see the priest. And as they were going, he didn't say, go see the priest and on your way you'll be made well. He just said, go see the priest. And on their way they were made well, or they were cleansed. And so some would say, I'm not sure he had much to do with it anyhow. Well, that reminds me of us. Somebody came up to me after first worship and said, you know, I see that same pattern in my own life. Like when I tithe and the Lord starts blessing me, then I'm not sure I give Him the glory. And then I don't give sacrificially, and then I don't, you know, receive the blessing like I was. And, you know, maybe you think it's you, but it's Him. Because of what changes in the heart. You ever had a prayer answered and then tried to explain it away after it was answered? I know lots of people that, you know, see God's hand move in even temporal ways, and then they turn back and say, I think it would have happened anyhow. Well, just thinking about these lepers and thinking about us and thinking about their cure and thinking about what we must do, it's simply this. That no matter who we are, no matter where we are, whether we need delivered for the first time or we need to deal with the sin in our life, here's what we do. We come to Jesus with a grateful heart. And today we're going to have a song of invitation. We're going to sing My Tribute, right? Somebody give me the words to that. Andy, would you open up a hymn book? And the praise folks, come on up here for Kim. When I saw that Andy had picked this, whoever picked it, I thought, you know, that'll work, but when we sang it this morning early on, I thought that really works, because here's what it says. How can I say thanks for the things you've done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory for the great things He's done. With His blood, He has saved me. He's already done that. He's already died on the cross. With His power, He's raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Our elders will come up. I'll be up here. Jake will be up here. If you want to pray with somebody, we're here for you to pray with us today. If you are ready to say, you know, Jesus is my cure, I want to lay my life down before Him, you're invited to come.